from KQED.
KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, two programs exist at William L. Cobb Elementary School in San Francisco, located adjacent to the city's low-income Western Addition. A Montessori for pre-kindergarten through second grade with 81 students and a general education K-5 with 150. The school has plans to expand the Montessori program through the fifth grade, and that has raised serious concern and conflict. The Montessori was brought into Cobb in 2005 to provide mostly African-American students access to a program usually inaccessible to inner-city children. We'll hear from both sides in the hour ahead as we get at the issues and stakes involved in an hour, which will include your calls and emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. William L. Cobb Elementary School in San Francisco is one of 30 Montessori schools in California, introduced in 2005 for preschool children. Montessori is a method of education founded in 1907 in Italy by Dr. Marie Montessori, emphasizing children's autonomy in selecting their own assignments and working at their own pace without grade-level designations or homework or tests, and with teachers playing a more guidance role than the traditional pedagogical roles. Montessori classrooms don't have toys. They use creative tools like art, tools, and musical instruments. The traditional general education program also exists at Cobb, and it's made up of largely African-American students. The district plan has been to phase out the general education program and convert Cobb to an all-Montessori school with an expansion of Montessori through the fifth grade. Presently, the Montessori program at Cobb has 81 K through second grade students, and the general education school has 150 K through five. In this forum hour, we discuss the debate over Montessori education and the future of Cobb Elementary, which is located in San Francisco adjacent to the low-income Western Addition. And let me tell you who's joining us for the hour. Jill Tucker's here in studio with us, education writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Rachel Norton is also with us. She's a board member and parent with the San Francisco Board of Education. Welcome, Rachel Norton.
Thank you.
Glad to have you both. We're also going to be talking through the hour to parents, and we'll have them on with us by phone who represent different points of view in terms of this debate, which Jill Tucker has become very heated, passionate. Somebody says like Beirut. Now, that's a bit of hyperbole, but it has certainly become quite intense.
It has. I think it has pushed a lot of buttons in San Francisco that often create controversy. There are racial elements. There are educational elements about what system is better. You have people who are very passionate in Cobb. Their families have been going for many, many generations. It's part of their family history. And then you have the Montessori parents who are very passionate about their program, almost religiously passionate about this program and what it does for their children. So you have all the elements there for this war that you're talking about.
Well, what went wrong here? There were a lot of good intentions. In terms of the kind of conflict we're seeing presently, the idea was to expand offerings, to have a magnet program, and yet, well, first of all, there was a lot of promises broken, at least according to both sides, as far as moving off-site. And then there have been a lot of promises broken, at least in terms of what we're hearing from the parents, and we'll hear from them directly in the course of this hour, with respect to what could be delivered, I guess.
Well, I think that...
and also their involvement in deciding what could be delivered.
Right. I think that a lot of people, while they believe promises have been broken, I think there's also just been a tremendous lack of communication and confusion and just not communicating with the families that sometimes are not always there at the site council meetings or other types of things. They aren't able to come. They traditionally don't participate formally like that. And so when you're having the information being spread at meetings where parents are not there, you're definitely going to have this information gap and people are going to be confused. And then ultimately they're going to be angry. And that's where we are right today, is that people are trying to figure out what happened and where things are going. And it's a big question mark right now.
Well, it's also become very political.
It has become very political. I think there are, again, you have people on various sides of the issue, the pro-Montessori, the community looking at what can we do to close the achievement gap, especially for African-American students. And so now you're starting to see this just super tension around issues that I think the school board and the school district and the school never wanted it to become any of that to be part of this.
Do you think, as someone who's been following this and reporting on it, that there was a lack of marketing about Montessori to African-Americans in the district, that is, those families who were most going to have the impact of this?
Based on what I'm hearing from the families and the lack of information, or more importantly, the misinformation that they had, that this was somehow a private school that was in the middle of Cobb or something that they had to pay for, which is completely wrong. This is a public school. It's free. But to have that misperception about this program, obviously somebody didn't do their job in explaining what this was and why it was at Cobb and what it was meant to do.
The information just wasn't disseminated as well or as effectively as it could have been.
It appears that's the case.
Where do we go now? I mean, does this become an administrative decision, or does it go to the board, or when will some kind of decision be forthcoming?
Well, they are saying that at this point they're going to put it in the board's lap. They'll probably have it on an agenda in January is what I'm hearing right now, although Rachel probably can answer that more effectively. But it is something I think now that needs to have a full public vetting so that everybody gets to have their say, that people understand why a decision is being made, whatever the decision is going to be. And, you know, in fact, the union actually sent out an email, I think it was yesterday, asking for mediation in the issue, which was an unusual thing to see in my inbox. But I think they realize that this lack of communication, we need to bring these communities together again and not have these communities at war with each other. That's not what the district wants. That's not what the city wants. And maybe we need some professionals to come in and try to help close that communication gap.
Jill Tucker, again, is education writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Rachel Norton is a board member and parent. With the board member of the San Francisco Board of Education, a parent at Cobb School.
I'm not a parent at Cobb School.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm
not. Okay.
No.
Well, let me scratch that out. That's what it says on my focus sheet here. But a member of the board. Now, is the board going to be essentially making this decision or getting mediation brought in? Or what do you see up ahead?
Well, it's actually news to me that UESF, the union, had asked for mediation. So that's an interesting new twist on this. And I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, I think anyone that listened to our board meeting this week on Tuesday night saw that there is tremendous frustration and anger on both sides of this issue. And if there's going to be hope of any kind of harmonious resolution of this, I think mediation would be a good tactic. My understanding is that the administration is going to bring us a recommendation for what they think would be the best tack to take, and that it will come on an agenda in early January. I've been told January 12th, which is our first meeting in January.
There seems to be a division here. I mean, I hope it's reconcilable, but a lot of it has to do with elements of class and race, as was touched on before, and the idea that somehow maybe Montessori is elitist, that almost cult-like one hears from time to time, that those who are involved had a head start to get their kids in Montessori. And for some of these African-American families now, they can't get their kids in the Montessori program because it's too late. Mm-hmm. So you have that division that's operating here as well and mm-hmm. making for some serious conflict.
Mm-hmm. I think that this program was brought into the district. I mean, our central goal has been for quite a while to close the achievement gap. And so this program was seen as a great strategy to help do that. And that was the reason why it was brought into this district. I think Jill is right that there has been tremendous failures in communication. And I think in retrospect, you know, the conversations that are going on now are things that should have been happening at the school site 2 or 3 years ago when all of this was starting to be set up. As far as parents being shut out of the program, I don't think, again, that's something that kind of when you look at it in retrospect, you think, oh, well, I can see why they feel that way. But
well, if they've got a kid in the second grade, they can't suddenly transfer over to Montessori. Right?
Correct. And that, again, is sort of a failure of really thinking this through. But on the other hand, you know, this was seen as, well, we'll implement Montessori gradually through the school. So no one who is there now will be displaced or have to choose a different program. As far as the younger siblings, I think the assumption was that the younger siblings would be able to gain entry into the Montessori as they entered in. So, again, it's one of those unintended consequences that nobody sort of thought about it with that lens of, wow, if somebody has a second grader and they have a younger kid going through. I mean, the assumption was, well, everybody would want Montessori because it's great, rather than
But see, there's an assumption that is obviously wrongheaded. I mean, there's a lot of distrust of Montessori, and this is not in any way to speak pejoratively about Montessori. In fact, I saw Superintendent Garcia last night at a fundraiser event for San Francisco schools, and he was talking very enthusiastically about some of the research that's been done out of Milwaukee with achievement gaps using Montessori, and in Hartford, Connecticut. And I mean, I've seen the research and so forth. But for traditional minded parents, and many African American parents particularly are traditional minded, they want traditional pedagogy and they feel that their kids need it. They want structure. Mm-hmm. This is not a structured system for many people's point of view.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think, again, I think the assumption was, well, when people see it, they'll see how wonderful it is and they'll change their minds. And there wasn't a concerted acknowledgement or effort to start from the perspective of there is mistrust of Montessori. I really think that that was the blind spot in our implementation of this program, that there would be a lot of distrust of it in the target community.
Of the method and of, well, perhaps even the association it has as being for, let's say, people who are not necessarily this economic class. Montessori is identified with people who can afford it for the most part, even though this is, as we've said, a public school that we're talking about. I want to bring some of our parents from, and again, Rachel Norton is a board member, not a parent, but a board member of the San Francisco Board of Education. But we have some parents on the line with us, and let's hear what they have to say. First, in fact, Mary Starr Hope is a parent of a student in Cobb Elementary's Montessori program, and she's joining us by phone this morning. And welcome to the program. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. You have a daughter in what, kindergarten? Started Montessori, though, when she was two?
I do. My daughter Ava is a kindergartner in room two with Megan Burgess, and she started in the program right at the first earliest age she could, 2 years, 9 months old.
And you are, I think the word you used is thrilled about the Montessori program?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's a tremendous program for my daughter. It's been phenomenal for her. And finding this program that was initially just a child development center made it possible for my family to afford preschool in San Francisco, because I couldn't have afforded a private preschool, and I wasn't able to go back to work until Ava started at Cobb.
You can understand the anger from the other side, can you?
Oh, of course I can, particularly because, you know, in the spring we were both told by a district representative that he was proposing that the Montessori school relocate, and we graciously agreed to do that. And at that time, I heard them communicate to the GE program and community that they would be supported in continuing their school, and the district would help them overcome problems of under-enrollment. And we were, you know, then all our focus had been on moving to an empty school building at Jackson and Webster. So we're very surprised to be back in this position, and we don't blame them at all for their anger. I wish that their anger were more appropriately directed at decision makers and not at my child.
How is the anger directed at your child?
Well, at our program and the presence of our children as, you know, interlopers or people that don't belong in the school or trying to kick their children out of the school. And
you mean you're seen as elitist or something like that, or just in a category unto yourselves?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's accurate. Certainly at the Board of Education meeting on Tuesday night, there was a lot of that sentiment. And, you know, we really want to make it clear, the Montessori families, to the GE families, that we've never advocated for the closure of their school or their program. We totally support their desire to hang on to their school. We are more than happy to move to another home. We just want to make sure that our school, you know, it's not a special program. It's our children's school. My daughter's been there for 3 years. And there's 75 children in the program. They're deeply enmeshed in an educational methodology that they can't go to another school. You know, that they're Montessori students. They've been in Montessori school. They need a Montessori school to go to. So we want to make sure they have that. And at the same time, we want to be friends and neighbors with the Cobb GE community.
Talking to Mary Starr Hope, who is a parent of a student at Cobb Elementary in the Montessori program. I think it's your observation that a lot of people who are not affiliated with the school and don't have children have become involved in this whole process. Is that right?
Yeah, it definitely appears that way. It's become very clear over the past year that Cobb School is very important to the larger community of the Western Addition. And there seems to be a lot of, you know, other community organizations involved in support of keeping the GE program, the NAACP and church groups. And you know, that's a very powerful lobby.
It's become a big issue in the city, certainly. And I want to hear from some more of the mothers. Jill Sprague is the parent of a kindergartner in the general education program at Cobb Elementary. And Jill, thank you for joining us. Good morning to you. Do we have Jill Sprague? I'm sorry. Do we have Jill Sprague?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine. Yeah, we lost you there for a moment. But I'm just wondering about your enthusiasm. We heard Mary Starr Hope say that she's been excited, enthusiastic about the Montessori program. I think you feel pretty much the same way about the GE program for your child.
Absolutely. Mr. Becker, our kindergarten teacher, is phenomenal. Mr. Becker, Hope Burns, our counselor, Mr. Tracy from the After School Up on Top program, they've literally changed the life course of my son's educational path. It's unbelievable. The things that my son is doing now in his academic career is just things I didn't think was possible last year. And I'm amazed with this school. It was not a school of my choice. I came here not expecting to find the quality of educator that I found when I ended up going here.
And you would not like your son to transfer to a Montessori program?
Absolutely not. In July, we received a letter from the district saying that that there was a Montessori program here. It would be leaving next year. I heard, you know, by hanging out at the school, I heard that they were having trouble with enrollment. And I couldn't believe it. When I see the quality of educators, I can't believe that people don't line up to go to this school. What was I saying?
Well, you were saying that when you first found out about Montessori, you didn't exactly jump at it, I think is the subtext of...
I didn't even know that that school existed. And then on the first week, my son came from a play-based school, so I said, wow, you know, could my son go there? They said, no, he didn't start at a Montessori school, and I was in a co-op, which is, you know, it's play-based, but it's kind of the same thing, child-directed education, which I'm very for. Then they said, no, he couldn't go. And so that was fine. I figured the school's going to school is wonderful. The teacher we have is absolutely incredible. And so I became an advocate for the school and decided to help with the enrollment. And they said low test scores. I don't know, you know, where they're getting that information from. Other than there is a high population of underprivileged kids in this community, a lot of children in my son's class and other classrooms come from underprivileged situations. However, the interaction that my son has, or the friends that he has made, the friends with all the ages, he loves these people. They all love him. They know us by name. We know them, and it's a very loving, wonderful, and highly educational community, and it would be a shame for the community to have this program not there anymore.
Well, what about moving off to another site? I mean, Montessori was supposed to do that. Now I guess it's GE that's looking toward being moved.
From what I understand, Montessori has less than 50 students in the kindergarten through, they have one second grader. We have 170. It would be nice if we would be happy to move off site, but I understand that there's a budget crunch. So I know Montessori gets funds from outside sources. It's not a strictly public school. They do get funding from other sources, and I believe the preschool is not entirely free to everybody. I know that I make a considerable income, and I doubt that I would get free education in the preschool. If I had a preschooler, I doubt I could afford it. I doubt it would be free to me.
Jill Sprague, again, is the parent of a kindergartner in the general education program at Cobb Elementary, and we thank you for joining us this morning. In fact, Jill Tucker, wasn't there a plan originally to take Cobb GE students and send them over to Rosa Park or John Muir Elementary?
Well, what I've heard from district officials is that Cobb has traditionally been under-enrolled. And when you have a struggling school with not enough students to fill the classrooms, it becomes a very expensive school to run. And nearby, there are two schools with space in them for general education students, Rosa Parks and the other one. So they are saying it financially makes sense to have an under-enrolled school, have those students go to another, to the other schools, and then have Montessori, which has a tremendous waiting list, to fill up eventually as it grows, Cobb Elementary School. Now, that makes financial sense, but it doesn't make a lot of emotional sense for community members and other people. So the decision is probably going to be a very tough one, a very emotional one, and one that will take into consideration dollars and cents, but probably not solely dollars and cents.
Well, let me bring yet another parent in here. Lori Jones is a parent of a child in Cobb's elementary third grade class, and she's joining us by phone this morning as well. And Lori Jones, good to have you with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You kind of feel like they're taking you over here.
They're taking me up. They are taking me over. They're phasing me out. They're like cancer. You have cancer, it's spread throughout your whole body, then you die. You disappear. You're no longer here.
And
am
you're,
I correct?
You're in GE, and your son would not be eligible for Montessori, right?
No, would not be eligible for Montessori. And as a matter of fact, this is my granddaughter that's in there now, but when my son was in Cobb, that's when Montessori started, and it started in preschool. Now, it started in preschool downstairs in the Child Development Center. They phased us out of that completely. We have one after-school program left.
I think you said your son was the kind of student who needed structure. You couldn't say to him, here's write an essay or play with a truck. He'd always play with a truck.
Exactly. Our kids need structure. We cannot be with this free flow, do what you want to do kind of thing happening. Now, I don't have nothing against the Montessori program. For those that work for it, work for it. But don't put it to the African-Americans. That's what they're trying to do. They're saying that's for us. It's not for us. They say low income. They think that means us. It's not. That's not our program.
Well, they're also saying that it does something to lessen the achievement gap, and that's been proven in, for example, Milwaukee, which heavy population of African-Americans.
I hear that all the time. But tell me this. What does California have in common with Milwaukee? Are we walking that same walk? Walking that same talk? Are we? No, I don't think
I think
so.
That's a rhetorical question. tell me something, though. Do you also think that there was a kind of bait and switch since first the Montessori school was supposed to be moved?
Okay, yeah, that was a lie told to everyone. By Kevin Truitt. I mean, he came out and, you know, we had a meeting. And the meeting is showing what's happening in the school. That's setting the tone for what's happening. A lady said that we're aiming our anger at her child. I'm not aiming anything at her child. It's at the district and the program. That program, to me, needs to disappear.
Lori Jones.
They're trying to take over my house. They're coming to my house.
Well, you made your sentiments very clear here, and I thank you for joining us, and thank you for expressing yourself as strongly as you did. Obviously, a lot of strong emotion on this whole subject. And let me do this. Let me open the phone lines, and I know there are many of you who may have opinions who want to weigh in on whether you are in the Cobb Elementary School District or have children there or not, because this brings up so many issues of race and class and, well, Montessori. Just Montessori in itself has a good deal of controversy attached to it, as you could well hear this morning. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we do welcome your calls for the second half of the program. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786. Again, feel free to join us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We'll hear from you, our listeners, what you have to say, and any questions or comments. You can also send an email, forum@kqed.org. Jill Tucker with us, education writer for The Chronicle, and Rachel Norton, a board member on the San Francisco Board of Education. We've heard from three of the parents. We'll hear from you when we return. On Forum, I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco school officials want to expand a Montessori program at one of the city's public elementary schools, and they believe that the alternative curriculum, which emphasizes self-directed, developmentally based learning, could benefit underprivileged students. But some teachers and parents at Cobb Elementary oppose the move, fear it will push out the more traditional general education curriculum. And with us, Jill Tucker, education writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Rachel Norton, a board member with the San Francisco Board of Education. We've got Jill Sprague back with us, parent of a kindergartner, because we wanted the general education program at Cobb represented, along with Rachel Norton, who is more of an advocate, it's safe to say, for the Montessori system. I was saying off air that I still associate Montessori with walking with books on the head, and there are all kinds of associations with Montessori, but it has had some success in Milwaukee. We heard one of the parents, Lori Jones, say that's Milwaukee and it's not California. Milwaukee, by the way, is also often used as an example of a school system that worked with vouchers as well in terms of diminishing the achievement gap. Jill Sprague also was with us in the last segment, a parent of a kindergartner in the general education program, and Mary Starr Hope, who's a parent of a student in the Montessori program. And we're going to bring your calls in, and let's go to Jenny in Santa Clara as our first caller. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that I personally attended a Montessori school throughout elementary school. This was back in the early 80s, and had a very difficult time adjusting to public school in the junior high years. And so,
you mean because of the structure in the junior high as opposed to the Montessori?
Exactly.
Lack of it?
Yeah. It was very, very difficult. Now, I currently have my son in a Montessori school. He's in preschool. I don't mind it for that age level, but I do feel that there was a lack of preparation.
Well, what about that, Rachel Norton? That is one of the concerns that parents have been voicing. But you were saying off air that it does provide structure, that you don't want to just talk about the baby in the bathwater here.
Well,
structure.
I think that my larger point is that children are individuals, and so I wouldn't make blanket statements about a particular methodology being good for a certain kind of kid or not good for a certain kind of kid. You know, for my daughter, actually, when I looked at Montessori as an educational model, I didn't think it worked for her. So we went a different way. I think that this is something that parents have to make the decision individually. And I think now, given all of the context and the voices of the families who are in the GE program at Cobb, we realize that perhaps we were too aggressive in the idea of this has to take over this school and there will not be a GE option now for these families. I think that there's a wholesale reconsideration of how this program would be structured, where it might be located, how parents would be able to choose it or not choose it, to give parents it was always seen as an additional option for parents. But as it has become clear in the implementation of it, we haven't given parents as many options as maybe they actually truly want.
But you heard the concern in that first call about not being able to adapt to traditional pedagogy when mm-hmm. one goes through Montessori. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a concern of a lot of parents. In fact, Jill Sprague, let me bring you back into the conversation here. I believe that would be a concern that you would have if your child were in a Montessori program.
That was a big concern of mine, and that's why I didn't want to go to a public school, and that's why I missed the first round last year. I didn't apply January 8th because I was going to put my son in a private school, because we've been in such a child-directed education place, and I was concerned that the general ed wasn't going to provide for my son or that he wouldn't adjust. Within the first week, between Mr. Becker and Hope Burns, my son walked out of the class a couple times because he's self-directed. He's not going to do what everybody's going to do. He's not going to, you know, follow the leader. He's the leader. He's been the leader for 3 years of preschool and pre-K. So now he's still self-directed learner. They haven't crushed that like I was expecting that the general education would. What they have is they've helped him learn how to read and how to write the things, the academics. They've added academics into his repertoire of play, and it's fabulous.
Well, I was saying, Jill Tucker, off air, that this reminds me of a lot of the debate over Summerhill, A.S. Neal, going way back. I mean, Jill Sprague mentioned child-directed. There's a difference in many people's minds where Montessori and traditional education break off in terms of one being more child-directed, one being more teacher-directed. And in many people's minds, they want and feel that their children need that teacher direction.
Absolutely. I think that is a difference. I actually look at Montessori as being fairly structured because the children walk in and there are certain things that they can do. They call it work. It is not playtime. Everything they do is work, whether they're preparing their own snack. But it is self-directed. But they do have to interact with these very hands-on things, the pink triangle that we think of, or the beads. They don't get to do whatever they want. They play with these or learn with these very specific tools with a teacher watching them and guiding them. But that is very different than general education, what we typically think of as a teacher in front of the classroom instructing the students, telling the students, and working with the students, giving them worksheets, giving them homework, giving them tests. None of that stuff happens in Montessori. So it is more structured in a traditional way in a traditional classroom with a teacher very much in control all the time. In the Montessori classrooms, the kids are in control.
Well, we got another. I'm sorry.
Could I just add to that to say that, you know, in a public school environment, don't forget that there are pretty stringent accountability measures, right? So traditional Montessori is no tests, right? We are still obligated to test students, whether they're in general ed or in Montessori. So we're still going to be measuring the progress of the students by the yardsticks that the state of California says that we need to measure them by. So I think that that's a really important point.
Ayodele joining us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to add a perspective because I've heard several callers comment on the idea that this kind of school is not for African Americans. I'm an African American who grew up in Kentucky, and my parents chose to put me and my four brothers all in Montessori school for preschool through middle of elementary school, and then we all transitioned into public school. And I think the reasons for putting us in Montessori was having us to learn to be self-directed learners, meaning that we would want to learn because we wanted to learn, not because someone told us we had to learn. And I now have my children in a Montessori school as well. And I keep hearing people say that it's unstructured. I've actually never seen children who are more in control in terms of their behavior and their attitudes. They are all busy doing jobs. They might be doing different things, but they are not acting out. They are not bored. And they really are learning valuable skills. I think the important thing to realize is that public school is an option for some people, general education. Montessori is as well. They don't have to be opposing forces. There are different times in a child's life where one might be better than the other, or another might be for financial reasons or whatever else, but they're not incompatible.
Well, I thank you for that contribution and testament. Appreciate hearing from you this morning. We're going to go to another caller who's actually a Montessori teacher. Tanya, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I'm good. I just wanted to make the statement that there's a variety of training programs for Montessori teachers, and there's a variety of interpretations of the Montessori philosophy. The original works were written in Italian, and they were interpreted by many, many people. And there are very, very structured Montessori programs, and there are very, very progressive, a little more traditional to what public school education is now, programs. So I think that sometimes what one person might experience with a Montessori school could be totally different than what another person could experience, just based on the foundation of where the philosophy was given to the teacher. An important thing that I think about Montessori is that a point was made earlier that in the traditional education system, the teacher has the information, and in the Montessori education system, the child has the education or has the information to learn. In the Montessori classroom, it's also the environment, and the job of the teacher is to observe the child and put the child in touch with the environment so that they can become those self-directed, confident learners that can go into any type of situation and succeed. And that's what I think the magic of Montessori is.
All right, thank you. Getting a lot of supportive remarks about Montessori. Is it safe to say, Jill Tucker, as I think that caller implied, that each Montessori situation is different depending on the community, depending on who the guide or teacher is and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone can slap a Montessori sign outside their home or their classroom. It's not trademarked. It's not something that is that anybody owns per se. However, there are programs that are accredited by national or international Montessori organizations. San Francisco's Cobb program is one of them, that tend to adhere to a more strict set of standards for
the methodology.
What they do. The methodology
is followed,
and what one would consider probably more closely related to Maria Montessori's method that she created 100 years ago.
And again, Jill Tucker is education writer with the San Francisco Chronicle. Here's some people who have written us. Charlie writes, I'm not black, but I've witnessed firsthand the predicament of black families. Discipline is paramount because one slip destroys a life. The involved black parent is always watchful of the forces surrounding their child. Combined with approaching the system from the outside, more often than not, allowances must be considered. Kate writes, just writing to support what Mary Starr said, we support Cobb GE staying and are completely fine with moving to a suitable location. Their anger should not be directed at us, but at the school board, and we should be supporting each other's goals, theirs of staying open at the current location and ours of expanding at a different suitable one. To the woman who said she wouldn't be able to afford it, it's the same pay structure as every other CDC in San Francisco, so it's free after age 5. Also, Montessori isn't a free-for-all, as the other mother described. It has guided structure. This is easy to look up online if she wants to be actually informed. And what about this suggestion from a listener who says, how might a charter solution like California Montessori Project help this situation? I guess that whole question about solutions has come up before. Charter school, Jill?
Yeah, most of the public Montessori programs are charter schools. They were created as their own thing. They've grown as their own thing. It is much more difficult to incorporate the Montessori methodology and that whole thing into a traditional public school. It's not just a building issue. It is something that traditionally starts in preschool. So if you don't start in preschool, you're not going to come in even as a kindergartner, which is when we typically open our public school doors to children. So it creates a lot of problems in trying to implement this.
We've got a caller on point here. I'm sorry, Deborah Norton. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that in actually the Milwaukee Montessori programs, they do allow students to transfer in some of the primary grades. So in kindergarten and in first grade, particularly, students are allowed to transfer in if they don't have a previous Montessori experience. And I would say we should be able to do that.
Jan, go ahead. You're on the air with
Jan?
Us.
Jan, hello. Thank you. I'm concerned about the exclusionary aspect of this whole thing. I read Jill Tucker's article in the paper, and she describes that students must be enrolled in the pre-K program in order to continue in the higher grades. Well, there are only 8 slots in the pre-K program. So that means only 8 new students per year. We then would have a Montessori student body of about 80-plus students. And then we have 150 students in the GE program, and the school board person said that it makes no financial sense to keep an under-enrolled school, so they'll ship out the 150 students and keep the 80-plus students. That does not make financial sense. So the exclusionary aspect bothers me a lot.
Rachel Norton.
So that was Jill Tucker that said it didn't make financial sense. I have not seen the budget breakdowns for the various options, and that's one of the things that I would want to take into consideration.
I'm asking you because you're on the school board, obviously.
Yes. you know, on the face of it, that may be true. I'm reserving judgment about which program it would make sense to move, if at all, when I see the budget.
And you want to add something, Jill Tucker?
Well, the color's a little off in the sense that if the Montessori does take over the building at Cobb, it would grow and fill virtually all the classrooms. I mean, there's 150 plus people on the waiting list right now, and they would expand the program so that it would be a fully enrolled school. But right now, the caller is right in the sense that the Cobb's Montessori program isn't even on the enrollment application form for San Francisco kindergartners. You can write it in if you know to do so, but it's not printed on the form.
And let me thank the caller and move right along to another caller, and that's Rachel. Go ahead. You're on the air, Rachel.
Hi. I am a parent of one of the Cobb Montessori children, and I'm a subsidized parent. And I just wanted to, first of all, echo a lot of the sentiments that people said, that Montessori is definitely structured. It's just structured in a different way that sometimes is hard to understand at first. And I really think that we do need more communication amongst parents, administration. There needs to be a lot more communication. And I really wanted to point out that the whole enrolling our children in the San Francisco Unified School District is incredibly tedious and difficult and confusing. And so parents don't know where their children are going to end up. They don't know how to go about the whole process. It sort of gets sprung on you at some point. We couldn't afford private preschool, yet I needed to work. My husband is in school, and we really had a difficult time. I had to take a lot of time off work to try to look at these preschools, and, you know, half the time I'd miss the deadline, and I couldn't even see them, and it was very difficult. We were so grateful when we found Cobb Montessori. We thought it was like a dream come true because we didn't even know there was a public Montessori, and we couldn't afford private Montessori, but we really like it. And
of course, what we read about, and let me just get your perspective from this because you're a Montessori parent. What we read about is the Montessori kids arriving and the parents being much more able to bring them and stay with them and be more involved and so forth. And the parents in the GE program, actually, maybe I'll get Jill Sprague's take on this. The parents in the GE program much less able to do that because more of them are working and they don't have kind of the freedom that the parents in the Montessori program have. Jill?
Well, no, I don't know that it's the fact that they're working as much as they come from backgrounds that they have a lot of issues going on in their home. They're transitional. So I think that has a lot to do. However, we have another thing is that our previous administrator, we just got a new administrator, in the last week, I think it was. The last administrator that we had was, I found her to be very discouraging to the general ed parents, and she was very pro-Montessori. This is one of the problems we have with the Cobb Montessori program, is that we are one school sharing a principal with two different types of schools sharing a principal and sharing funds.
What can be done better from your perspective, Jill, to open up the lines of communication and to make those in the GE program more aware sort of where you can come together and where you can find common ground, those kinds of things? What really, in your judgment, needs to be done?
The first step, which they have done, actually has got us a new administrator who is fair to both programs. And I think the general ed program has not had a fair shake. They've not had, they didn't have anybody out there promoting. But these teachers that they have in this general ed program, the program at Cobb that is there is already a wonderful program. And if people knew about it, in fact, I think there is a waiting list now because this year we went to the enrollment fair and we got people. And there are people coming, taking tours for the general ed and putting them, they want to be on the waiting list. Now, when you tell us, right now, at the beginning of the year, we had a program. And then right before the January 8th deadline, they're telling us that now we may not have a program. Who in their right mind is going to sign up for their school sign up for a school that may or may not be there? This is a wonderful program. It's not being given a chance.
I'm sorry. Finish your sentence, please.
Okay, and this is what's got me furious because I have spent hundreds of hours and hundreds of dollars of my own money trying to put together a PTO and a school site council, which we do have now, and that in the last 3 years, the past administrator did not encourage the PTO general education. There's things you can do to promote that. You know, on the first night back to school, you know, make a table, put it out, you know, just took a little bit. And I got 40 applicants to come to the PTO meeting and to the school site council. Yeah, only a few of them showed, but that was a big difference. And the past administrator was not doing anything to encourage parent participation or enrollment, and that was a big problem. The teachers were there, and the counselor was put in, I guess, last year, which is a good thing. But there's some things from the administrative perspective that can be done for Cobb School to promote these teachers, the educators that they have there.
All right.
These students.
Let me see if I can hear from some more of our callers, and we've got Aaron on the line. Aaron, thanks for waiting.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of this show and a supporter of Rachel Norton and an avid reader of Jill Tucker. Thank you all. I just wanted to say that from my perspective, I feel like there's a bit of reverse discrimination going on in this instance, and I myself was schooled in Montessori through third grade. I'm a huge zealous supporter of Montessori, and I had the opportunity to tour the school last year and was told by a professional there, who I won't name, that they were not interested in gentrifying their school at that time. And I was so disheartened by the whole interaction that I practically voted out, you know, ever even returning there. And now
gentrification's a new synonym for Montessori expansion.
Well, this is what I'm wondering. I mean, I looked at what I was wearing that day. I said, you know, yes, I am a white professional, and this was a white person telling me this. But I work for the federal government. I'm not, you know, by any means wealthy. I live in a rental in San Francisco, and yet I was told more or less that they didn't want me there. And now I have my daughter enrolled in a private Montessori. It's one of the least expensive private schools in the city. But, you know, I would love to be part of a public movement for Montessori. And I guess that's more or less what my point is.
Well, I thank you for your point, and thank you for calling. And let me go to some emails here. Listener writes, clear up the confusion. One caller said that the Cobb Montessori program has outside sources of funding and requires some private tuition. Other guest says, no, it's free public education. Which is which?
So I can clarify that. The child development program offers 60% subsidized spots for low-income families, and the remaining 40% are tuition spots. Once children transition into kindergarten through the Montessori program, it is free to everyone because it is a public school.
Couple of other emails. Daniel from Santa Clara writes, let's look at the bigger picture. A big problem is that the community where the Montessori school is to be relocated did not decide this is what they wanted. It is an issue that is very entrenched in race and class. It appears to me that a group of most likely white educators and parents decided that Montessori would help the community in the Western Addition. Had the black community in the Western Addition decided this is what they wanted, there wouldn't be as much of a problem because they would take ownership over the relocation. And another listener says, it's wrong to generalize about the African-American community needs. I have two granddaughters. Both are African-American. One is 9 years old and in the fourth grade at a public school. The other is 11 years old and in the sixth grade at a private school. I believe the 9-year-old would do well and blossom in a Montessori environment. She's a self-starter and has a variety of interests and talents, which she can pursue on her own. I believe a structured environment is better for the 11-year-old, whose main passions are probably shooting hoops, electronic games, and watching TV. Let's go to more of your calls, and we'll go to Yvonne. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm an African-American single parent with a child in the Montessori program. She's in pre-K, and I am actually also thrilled about the program and how it's instilled characteristics in my daughter and traits that I know are going to benefit her in the long run.
Okay, good to hear from you. There's some crosstalk on that, so let me just go to another caller here, and that's John in the city. Hi.
Hi, yeah. I also have a son who's in the kindergarten, the elementary program at Cobb Montessori, and I'm a former Montessori teacher myself, and I would like to echo what the other proponents of Montessori have said and just add that 100 years ago when Maria Montessori was developing her method, that she actually worked with underprivileged children, and she worked with children that had learning disabilities or emotional disabilities, and develop methods that worked really well for them. And I think the discussion between race or gentrification is a little, it misses the point that every child in San Francisco should be getting a very good education. And one of Montessori's contributions was to take the special methods and philosophy and materials and direct them to children that wouldn't have gotten an education otherwise.
I'm wondering something, forgive me, but is there a little bit of a phone tree going on here? We're getting a lot of callers supporting Montessori and not that many GE, and GE is a bigger program. The Montessori people get in touch with you, John? I just have to ask. And say, call the program or listen to the program or something like that?
Well, I do listen to the program, and actually when I was driving my son to school this morning, I heard that this was going to be on, so that's when I decided to call.
Okay. I just wonder, are they, Jill Sprague, maybe are they more organized than you are?
You know, I do see that they are very organized, and I've been trying to work on that a lot.
And excuse me, I don't mean to make this seem like, you know, one side playing against, but there are different interests here, I'm sure you realize.
Right,
yeah.
And there is a class difference, because a lot of our students from the Cobb are from transitional backgrounds, and they are from, you know, I guess it's a class issue. And that's another reason why I'm trying to be such a big advocate. And we have gotten a lot of parent participation. There's things that we can do to change that. I am trying to organize that. We do have two parents have put together Facebook, Twitter, and trying to get the more population, I guess the computer population, there's an echo in my phone, I'm sorry. Anyways, we're trying to get our parent participation up in our organization together. We've had a lot of obstacles with that. Within the last week, there's been some changes at Cobb to help change that. This is a wonderful program. We do have parents who are willing to participate. We just need to learn how to reach out to this group of people.
And I might say also,
Deborah Norton.
At the board meeting, I mean, it was very obvious that there were more general ed supporters there than Montessori supporters. They both are very organized. The general ed supporters were wearing orange stickers and the Montessori supporters were wearing yellow hats. And from our perspective on the board was a little...
It sounded like Crips and Bloods a little bit. We got colors
here. It was sad.
Here.
I mean, I think that this is a really sad situation because it's so divided. And you know, one board member whispered to me when she saw the different colors, you know, oh no, they're supposed to be one school. You know what? How is this happening? So
why
do
they
see
wear
this
school
very
colors?
Tragic.
Everybody should be wearing.
I don't know what
colors.
The Cobb school colors are.
Well, elementary schools don't often have colors. Well, let's get some more colors on. Sandra joins us. Hi, Sandra.
Yes, hi. I think that a lot of these divisions that Rachel talks about could be avoided if we did a better job of training principals and administrators on how to engage and work with parents in the community. Time and time again, as a parent in the school district, I've seen, you know, what could be good ideas just fall by the wayside because there's not enough emphasis on how do we reach out and really engage and talk to families about decisions around schools. And
well, that's a big issue here today, if I may say so, yes. And certainly can apply to many school districts.
Also, I would just like to say that some of the, you know, administrator credentialing programs that I've been looking into, they certainly do not have a community and parent engagement component. And I think that is so needed. And we would avoid so many of these very emotional board meetings and community sort of split decisions if we started properly at the beginning by engaging and having conversations with everyone at the table.
Well, yeah, good, important point to end on. And thank you for your call, Sandra. And thanks to all who joined us this morning. We'll continue to follow this story and hope that things will work out. Jill Tucker is education writer with the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you for being with us, Jill. Rachel Norton, a board member with the San Francisco Board of Education. And we also talked with Lori Jones and Mary Star Hope. And Jill Sprague was with us for the hour, parent of a kindergarten in the general education program at Cobb Elementary. Well, in the next hour, we're going to talk about polar bears. Richard Ellis joining us to talk about On Thin Ice, the changing world of the polar bear. Many things you probably didn't know about polar bears. They have become sort of what somebody described as the poster child for global warming. We'll find out all about that. I hope you will join us in the hour ahead. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our interns, Matthew Colley, Jim Levo, Dimitri Kesselman, and Mariah Dickerson. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.